All right, let's pray. Father, Yah, we come to you just to give you the glory for who you are. We thank you for our wonderful Savior, your Son, Yahushua. We submit ourselves completely to your will. Teach us your way, Yah, so that we may be the examples that's necessary for the kingdom to come. And we bless you in the name of again, our wonderful Savior, we do pray. Amen. I want to start out by telling you about a video that I happened to run across, and I thought it was very interesting, and I ended up deleting out of it before I was going to send it to a few people that I sent stuff to. But I found it interesting, the video. Let me just tell you about it, and then I'll explain, and then we'll go into the lesson. We're going to the lesson today. We'll be coming from Matthew chapter 13, so you can go ahead and turn there. You can go ahead and, get there so that when we start, you'll already be in place. You don't have to start turning or adjusting your computers, have where you look in your Bible. So, but in this particular video, and there was like three parts to it, and I admit I got so frustrated watching this, but then at the same time I have to be careful because I have a tendency to not be as patient as I should when things come across so simple, and I'd be looking at it and be like, man, why you just can't see it? It's right there. It's just right here, and it kind of bothered me sometimes, but then at the same time, I have to understand that y'all he just deal with me different. So, and what I mean by different, I'm not saying that it's necessarily saying it's different from anybody else. I'm just saying he just deal with me different. He allowed me to see some things and to understand some things. So that's what I mean by different. And so these guys, Israelites, they went before the United Nations building in New York, and stood there. It was basically, in a nutshell, taking it up on themselves to go before the United Nations, and basically say, okay, we are a sovereign nation, which is true. We are a sovereign nation of people, and, we want to be recognized and start making preparations to let us go. The ideal is good or true, however you want to look at it, but the method is all wrong. There are a lot of Israelites who are taking it up on themselves to go and do things that Yah himself has to do. In other words, they're trying to do these things without Yah's leading, and that's why we've been dealing with the G-Race. And so it's vitally important, for us to be led by the Spirit of Yah, because these guys went, I think, three days in a row, they went still before the United Nations, and the police is telling them, you can't stand right here and protest. You can go across the street. No, they don't want to go across the street. They want to stand in front of the flag of the United Nations, all the flags lining up. They want to stand in front of the flag and then, show their flag, or supposedly our flag. And I was sitting here looking like, I'm just so frustrated watching them. I'm like, man, this don't make no doggone sense, Here we are, we come into an understanding of some things, and then we start trying to push. We start trying to push stuff ourselves, kind of deal. I've always said to Yah, you ain't going, I ain't going. I don't care what it is. I don't care what it look like. I don't care what it is I'm supposed to be doing for the kingdom, what you call me to do. If you ain't showing up, I ain't going. I'm telling you that now. You know, and so that's one of the things that we all have to understand. I don't care what we call to do, what level we're called to do it. If God is not going with us, we not going. Learn something from Moses. Oh, like, Yah, if you ain't going, I ain't going. It ain't happening. It's not going down. And so, you know, again, I was amazed that these guys went for 3 days, got arrested, all three, went for 3 days, but they understood certain fasts as far as the law is concerned, and they knew what the New York Police Department was trying to do, and so they went against, they would arrest these Israelites for going and standing before the United Nations. They would arrest them, but then they would always let them go, not book them or anything like that. So they basically would file complaints and stuff like that and go stand right back out there. Well, one of the points that they did have is that because we're waking up as a nation of people and are starting to acknowledge some things, and we're going before, you know, even things like, of course, standing outside the United Nations, it's making nations nervous because they say, man, these people are waking up. And these people are waking up to understand who they are, and since you know they're waking up to understand who they are, and since they understand who they are, that is a prophecy that reveals that our days are numbered, and that's how we understand how the world works. When Israel wake up, it puts the world on notice that Yah is going to do some stuff, because as long as we as a nation of people walking around in ignorance, not knowing who we are, then things didn't start to line up as far as, you know, 2 Chronicles 7:14, where it says, "As my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then when I hear from heaven and heal that land." Well, that land is obviously our land. And so, again, as these guys went and stood before the United Nations with supposedly our flag, saying that they wanted to be recognized as a nation and started making plans to allow us to go home, because we are getting ready to be gathered. There are some things that have to take place. I think Alan and I had talked about some things and after last Sunday's lesson, we had kind of talked about some things. And I can't remember if it was afterwards or even here at the end of the lesson that we dealt with, you know, concerning. And there are some things I'm going to go back and discuss in detail on tomorrow about last week's lesson. We'll discuss some things in detail, because I think there were some people didn't understand some things, and so we're going to fix it and make sure we walk in understanding. So, but, he had asked a question. I said, I don't know, but then at the same time, y'all reminded me of some scriptures that we had covered. I'm like, yeah, I do know. It's just that at that time, my brain wasn't working like it should have been. There are some things that have to take place. It's just that the reason why I said I don't know is because at this point, I don't know how many Israelites are going to be back in the land when Christ comes. So that's why I was saying I don't know, because you have a lot of Israelites who have awakened, but at the same time, I don't know if it's going to be enough of us that's going to be able to go back to the land of Israel to have to flee in the wilderness when that beast comes to its full head. That's what I meant by I don't know. And so, you know, from the question that he had asked me. So back again. So you have guys who are doing the right thing. They understand the scripture enough to know that we have to go back to the land in order to fulfill biblical prophecy that says we as a nation is going to flee into the wilderness. And so they have a right concept, but their method is wrong, and that they're trying to get these United Nations and all this to recognize us as a nation of people. But there are some things that got to take place. And so I'm going to throw this out there, and then I'm going to leave it alone. We're going to jump into the lesson in Matthew 13. Here's what's going to take place in order for these nations to start recognizing us as the nation of Israel, so that the remnant of us can start making preparation to go home. As the days of our nation and Moses, so shall it be in these days. And this is how you understand when Yah is working. See, we can't, as a nation of people or a group of leaders of our nation, okay, we can't, as a handful of people, again, go by ourselves and stand before the building of the United Nations in New York and start saying, okay, let my people go, and be standing there with our flag. Y'all have to go with us so that when they said no, then the plague be released to let these nations know that y'all's not playing. Because right now, we going in our own strength. It's like y'all playing. I'm just playing with words. But I'm saying, when we go stand before United Nations in our own strength, then y'all not going to show up and bag up what we asking for. But when we go with Yah, when Yah sent us and He go before us and be present before us, then when they said no, or when they said get out from in front of the United Nations building, then Yah gonna start doing things to make them afraid to come ask us to get out of the property or off the sidewalk in front of the United Nations. And the United Nations building. And that's what's wrong with Israel. Israel don't understand. Israel understand that, you know, we understand that we're Israel, but their leaders are some so-called leaders. Y'all just say they're not the leaders. They're the chickens trying to be the rooster, so to speak. So that you have so-called leaders who are going, standing there trying to prop the kingdom up and make people think the kingdom has come because they have taken it upon themselves to stand in front of the United Nations and do what Yah is going to send to be done. Okay? Because when the leaders do go, just like as the days of us in Egypt, Yah is going to manifest signs and wonders. Moses is going to be able to say, okay, then if you don't let my people go, then this is what's going to happen. Okay, that's going to be the defining line to make these heathen nations start saying, wait a minute, something going on here. It's blood in the water. Wait a minute, there's something going on here. There are plagues of locusts and frogs that's coming all over the place. That's the kind of stuff that's going to make these nations start to recognize who we are as a people and make preparation to let the remnant go. As the days of us leaving out of Egypt, so it's going to be these days again. History is going to repeat itself. There's nothing new under the sun. So the brethren need to understand that they can't go do this by themselves. Yah has to go with us. We have to be led by the Spirit of Yah. And when we as leaders stand before these nations saying we are a sovereign nation and we're coming to you asking to let our people go so we can go back to our land and serve our Yah, when we go in Yah's strength, then Yah gonna bag up everything that we say, just like it happened with with Moses. Other than that, we ain't got no business trying to go do nothing up on ourselves. You know, and I say this, and I hate to say it, but it's the truth. When you look at the death of our leaders, people like Malcolm X, Martin Luther King, other leaders, those just two that I'm naming, that ended up, you know, getting murdered for one reason or another. They were our leaders, but at the same time, we all as leaders got to make sure we stay in our lane. And so there are certain things we can't get caught up in because it's not in our lane. Even I'm being asked to do some things now that I'm saying, that ain't what y'all called me to do. I ain't called to fight that battle. Because that battle is going on, and I explain what the battle is, because like I said, I ain't scared, and I don't care. What I mean by I don't care is that I'm not worried. I'm not scared, and I'm not worried. What's going on with, there are some things that's going on with black doctors. Black doctors are losing their jobs, And the reason why these black doctors are losing their job is because they're coming forward saying that body parts of Israelites are being sold at, in the black market. So when you have someone who uses that example, who's in a car wreck, been shot or whatever, that happened to go to certain hospitals and things like that, and the injury is not life-threatening, then they will allow those individuals to die just to use their body parts or internal organs like your kidneys and liver and heart and things like that to make these things available for people who have a lot of money and need those organs. And so these doctors are coming forward sharing what's going on, and they're losing their jobs as a result of it. And they're even saying that, you know, you may even have funeral homes and things like that that's involved in these things. And so a lot of time when you when a loved one died and they're saying they want to do an autopsy and things like that, you know, a lot of time it'd be another motive associated with that. So a lot of times you get the loved one back, they already open up and sewn back up, and they may say it's because they had to do an operation on them and all that kind of stuff. And that's not what it is. In reality, they're taking those body parts and they're selling on the black market for about $60,000 or more. And so that's what's really going on in this terrible world that we live in today, whereas the love of money is the root of all evil. Then you have those same families who can't even bury the loved one, you know, because they don't have a $2,000 and don't realize the system has taken, you know, $60,000 of their internal organs and could have paid for a whole lot of stuff, but, you know, that can't be told because it would bring up a whole lot of issues. And so that's what these doctors are saying is being done. And they're starting to come forward saying it's being done to our people. And the reason why it's being done to our people is because when you look at the makeup of the original man, which is so-called black, the original man is so-called black, and so it's kind of like taking the original. It's kind of like other people are wanting the original in order to, you know, you don't want an imitation classic. You want the real classic. If you're going to put, you know, if you're into antique, you don't want an imitation antique. You want the real antique. So that's the way these mindset of these people are. So when they need an organ, they don't want to go get an imitation or a genetic defect organ. They want to get, I don't know if I'm saying organ. I thought I was saying like an organ is with your place. But an organ, they don't want the genetic defect organ. They want the organ that comes from the original person, or the person who has the strongest organ. And that's your original man. Okay, when you look at nations and different things like that and history, we are the original man. There are some things that I've done that I'm coming to understand that even the Roman army may have been so-called black, but everything is whitewashed to bring it up to these things. So everything is whitewashed, and so we have to understand these things. That's a whole other topic. But that's what's going on as far as these doctors are concerned. So this stuff is being brought to me, and I'm being invited to these certain meetings to discuss these things. And I'm like, oh, wait a minute, I'm going to step back and see if y'all are going, because I ain't trying to be no martyr for something that y'all ain't called me to deal with. Because I look at it at another realm of understanding that, okay, the reason why this is happening to us as a people is because it's fulfilling Scripture. Our rebellion has got us to this point, okay? So, again, that's what Israelites are doing. And like I said, these guys was arrested 3 times. And them nuts go right back, you know, first time them nuts went right back over them, like, and I got so frustrated watching it, but I watched all 3 just to see what was going to happen. And I'm like, man, everybody, and I say everybody for lack of a better way to express it, it's like everybody's starting to understand who we are, and they're taking it up on themselves to try to go do something to fulfill Bible prophecy. Because they understand what the Scripture says. They understand what's going to happen as far as our nation, but they're going trying to make it happen. They ain't trying to make nothing happen if y'all ain't going. But if y'all going, I ain't got to worry about making it happen, because all I got to do is show up and say what he leads me to say. And then once it's said and done, y'all going to back up every word. And that's what our nation has to understand. So from that perspective, we're going into Matthew 13, and we'll deal with some things to give us an understanding of what's going on with things today. Now, we'll start at Matthew 13. We'll start at verse 24. Because as we deal with... I'll go back up a few verse. And I'll just read it. I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time on it because we've dealt with it. We've dealt with it before. We'll go up to verse 18. But verse 24 is where I want to spend a lot of time dealing with after that, 24 and after that. We'll just deal with 18. Verse 18, Matthew 13, verse 18 says, "Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower." Now, when you look at the word parable, it's basically like a proverb or similitude. So when you hear the word parable, it's somebody giving you a story about something for you to understand a similitude of something else. So I put it this way. It's like I tell you a story to get you to understand the actual truth of how things work when it comes to a truth. And so Jesus used parables a lot. Yehoshua, he used parables a lot to bring about a truth. And so anytime you hear them say a parable and he starts saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like this," it is letting us know that when you look at the kingdom is just like this parable he's given to us so that we can understand what the kingdom is like. So he gives us a similitude, a parable, so that we can understand how the kingdom works. All right? Now, verse 18, he said, "Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower." So he's going to use a parable of the sower to give us the understanding. To get us to understand how the kingdom works. So he says, the parable of the sower. He says, "When anyone hears the word," so it lets us know that the word is the seed, because we can go to other scriptures and look at it. So since it's a parable of a sower is like a farmer, okay? A sower is like a farmer who's sowing seed, okay? A sower is someone who scatters seed. He receives seed to scatter. So he says, "When one heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then come the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart, in his mind." So we know that the word is the seed. Okay, the word is being compared to the sower. So the word, as far as the kingdom is concerned, what you're hearing from me and the words that I speak is I'm sowing seeds into your mind to bring about a result. Because remember, the farmer or the sower, he has seed. He sows seeds in the ground. Well, me as a sower of the word, I'm sowing words into your mind, the ground. Your mind is the ground. And so you're supposed to take these words, and you have ground, your mind is the ground that received the words that should cause some production to take place. So what you hear should get into your mind and then cause an action, growth, production, performance. Remember, as we dealt with the things in G-Ray's lesson? Now, again, it says, "When one heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not." Don't understand it. Okay? Don't comprehend it. Okay? Don't consider it. It don't mean that there's no understanding from the perspective of, okay, yeah, I hear it. I get that. No, when he says understandeth it not, it means it from a deeper perspective. To consider it to the point of putting action with it. Remember, faith without works is dead. Faith without correspondent action is dead. A person can say they have faith, but they don't have action to go along with what they say, it's nothing. It means nothing. The example that I always use, I can say I love you, but if I'm slapping you at the same time, you know, and abusing you, then that doesn't line up with my words of I love you. Because the scripture lets us know that a man doesn't basically beat his own body, so neither should he beat the person that he care about. Okay? So when you look at it from 19 again, it said when anyone hears the words of the kingdom, the word of the kingdom, and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked. It says wicked one, but it says the wicked. Now, when you look at the wicked, it's not necessarily that it's just talking about an individual, but although the individual can be classified as the wicked one, okay? So as you look at it and we continue to read, you'll see it. The wicked one, and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. It starts to show the mindset, but it's comparing it to ground. Okay, it's compared to ground. So when you look at wayside ground, it is a ground that has a mentality of like in root, so to speak. Is anybody saying something? Okay, I thought somebody was saying something in the conference call. So when you look at it, catching the way which was sown in his heart, this is he which receives seed by the wayside. And so when you look at verse 19, it explains what wayside is. It's when a person hear the word but comprehended it not. It's considered wayside. It's considered, you know, something that is lost along the way, okay, lost along the journey. Okay, in route or in the distance. It's wayside, okay? But then verse 20 says, but he that receiveth seed into stony ground, the same is he that heareth the word, and with joy receiveth it. First they hear the word, they receive it, yet he had no root in himself, but endured for a while, for when tribulation or persecution arises, because of the word, by and by he is offended, okay? By and by he's offended. In other words, it lets us know that when an individual hears the word, has this type of mindset, where it's classified as stony ground, thinking from the former, sowing seed in ground that's, it's ground that's full of rocks. It said a person's mind is the same way as this type of stony ground. They hear it, but they have no root in themselves. So when things come, problems happen, then they're offended or they turn away from what they heard. It's saying the kingdom is like this now. He also received seed among thorns. Is he that heareth the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. Think about it. You sow ground, you sow seed into a ground that has a lot of thorns in it. When that wheat grow up, and if it's a bunch of thorn in it, it'll choke that seed out, or choke that wheat out, because it's among thorns. He said, well, people's minds are like that. They get the word, and because of the curls of this world, it's a lot of stuff that they're overly concerned about, and it chokes the word out of them. It chokes it out. It becomes unfruitful. Okay? Verse 23 now, because I'm trying to get to 24. But he that receives seed into good ground, he's now comparing a seed that's been sown in some good ground to give us an understanding of how our mind should be. Okay? He that receiveth seed into good ground is he that heareth the word. The word is the seed. Hearing what I'm saying and understandeth it. Now, when you look at the word understandeth it, it gives us a perspective of we put it together mentally. We comprehend. By implication, we put action with it. Okay? We be wise. That's what being wise is. When we be wise, we put action with it. Okay? He said when that individual is that way, when they hear something when they hear truth and then they adjust to the truth, he said that individual now is good ground, okay? A good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also bears fruit. That's the action. Also bears fruit now. To become fertile. That's what it is. Bear fruit. To become fertile and bring forth some an hundredfold, some 60-fold, and some 30-fold. Each fold is good because it's producing. So don't think 30-fold is not good. All of it is good. 30-fold is considered good ground. 60-fold is considered good ground. 100-fold is considered good ground because all of us have different facets of understanding and how we comprehend, like what I said earlier. There are some things I just comprehend differently than other people. Well, if you comprehending something, you're still good ground. It's just that you may not comprehend it as deeply as I do, or I may not comprehend it as deeply as you do. But bottom line, your 30-fold and my 100-fold, or my 100-fold and your 30-fold is still good. Y'all said that's fertile ground that's producing fruit. Okay? Now we get to verse 24. He starts to deal with another parable. Now, remember, the parable is an example or a similitude for us to understand how the kingdom works. So he says, another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened. There's a similitude now. The kingdom of heaven is likened, is similar unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares. Now, when you look at tares, tares is false grain, okay? False wheat. It looks like wheat. Tares look like wheat, but tares is not wheat. It's an imitation. It's false, okay? And so sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So when the wheat started to grow up, okay, when the wheat started to grow up, the tares started to grow up with the wheat. Now remember what we just discussed before, because we're in the same frame of thought. So we understand that the wheat and the tare is sown into what? Ground. Now, question now, when it comes to the kingdom, what is the ground? I'm asking, this is class. When it comes to the kingdom, what is the ground? We discussed it. What is the ground?
People's minds.
People's minds. So, when we look at this now, the wheat and the tares, because you get some people that will try to say, well, the wheat and the tares is people. And when Yah come, he going to separate the people. He going to separate the wicked from the unrighteous. Well, that's true to a certain perspective, but how can you tell if everything looking like wheat? Remember, wheat and tare, wheat is wheat. Tare is a similitude of wheat because he's given us an understanding of how things work from the kingdom to let us know what's really going on in the earth. He said the kingdom is like this. There are things that we're going to see that is going to be in the kingdom, appearing to be the same thing, but it's not. Okay. Now, again, he says, verse 26. He says, but when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. Verse 27. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, sir, did not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then has it tares? They're asking the master, so to speak. The servants are asking the master. They're saying, okay, master, didn't we sow some good seed? Didn't you give us good seed to sow in the ground? Then what is it with this tare that's going up, that's growing up with the good seed, the good wheat? Verse 28, and he said unto them, an enemy has done this. The servant said unto him, Will thou then, do you want us to, is what he's saying. Wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? Gather up the wheat. But he said, the master said, no, nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together unto the harvest. And in the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together the first, the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barns. Y'all see this? Now, let's deal with this. Remember, the ground is the mind, because he's saying the kingdom is like this. And then he's saying, according to the kingdom, you have good seed and you have bad seed. Okay, you have good seed and you have bad seed. And these good seed wheat, they produce what they should. But then all of a sudden you have these other bad seeds that's springing up and growing with the good seed. That's growing up with the wheat. But then he says, now don't worry about that, because when it comes time for the harvest, that is going to be a clear separation, and the wheat is going to be gathered. The tares is going to be gathered first, and then the wheat is going to be gathered up and put into the barn. Now, when you understand that, you can deal with it with a certain perspective as far as people are concerned, but we have to understand that the kingdom is dealing with some things from a perspective of the minds of individuals. So he's saying to us that on a daily basis, because you're looking at when we went up and read verse 18 all the way down, he's dealing with the production of the seed, what it produces as far as a person is concerned, some 30-fold, some 60-fold, some 100-fold of an understanding. Then he jumped right back down and started dealing with the wheat and the tares. Okay? So when you look at things in a nutshell of what's going on as far as the kingdom is concerned, you have people who are appearing to be just like the wheat. Let me back up. You have tares that's appearing to be just like the wheat. Now, you can't look at an individual and tell if there's tares going on in their ground or wheat going on in their ground. Because you have a mindset of people who everybody's coming across in a manner that says, well, I know Jesus, or I have a relationship with Yah, I'm living right, you know, I'm on my way to heaven, so to speak. But Yah is saying that it's difficult to tell from the state of from the outward appearance, but there are some things going on from a perspective of a person's mind that he's saying, when the harvest comes, I'm going to do the separation. That's why the scripture says this, and we'll go there. Matthew 25. And we'll come back to Matthew 13. Matthew 25, he's saying, let me see which verse. We'll start at verse 14. Okay, Matthew 25, verse 13, it says, For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a foreign country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according as his several abilities. In other words, y'all not going to give us more than we are able to handle. He gives us responsibilities according to our ability. That's how the kingdom works. So he's not going to call you to do something that, you know, that I'm called to do. I'll just use it from that perspective. Because he's given us different abilities to do things. Verse 16 says, then he that received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. When we're doing what we're called to do, we always get results. That's one thing that church folks need to understand. The reason why some things are not happening is because people are not doing what they have the gift or the talent to do. People are in the wrong lane, in a nutshell. Verse 17 says, likewise, he that received 2 is also he also gained another other 2. But he that received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And he that had received 5 talents came. This is not really where I want to be, but I'm just continue to read. Came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I gained beside them 5 talents more. His servant said, his Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He also that received 2 talents came and said, Jehovah, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents, O Lord. And behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Verse 24. Then he that received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, that thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked, twisted, and slothful servant, thou knowest that that I reap where I have where I sow not, and gather where I have not strawed. Now order therefore to have put my money to the exchangers. This is not where I want to be. Let me just continue to read. And then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that he hath. And cast the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Here's where I wanted to be. And so just kind of, I'm not going to expound on the other one because that's not where I wanted to be. I just went too far. Verse 31 said, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory. Remember as I'm dealing with Matthew 13, it's the wheat and the tare. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sows seed in the ground, and the wheat and the tare, you know, tare is sown into the wheat, and they grow up together. But he says, let the harvest come. During the harvest, I'll do the separation. So we're looking at Matthew 25, and Matthew 25 is showing a comparison or a similitude to the separation to give us an understanding of some things. Now, again, verse 31 said, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory, our Savior, Yehoshua, and all the holy angels with him. You compare it to Matthew 13, it is harvest time. Christ is coming to harvest his saints. Okay? Now, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit up on the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations. And he shall separate them one from another. Remember in Matthew 13, the wheat and the tare, you have stuff that is good seed, the wheat. You have other that's imitation wheat, tare. And so the master says, okay, no, don't pull the wheat out. I mean, don't pull the tare out. Why it's growing with the wheat, we have to wait to harvest time, and then we separate the tare first, and we put the tare, away from the wheat, and we gather wheat into the barn. Well, in Matthew 25, we're looking at a similitude now. Christ returns. When Christ returns, it's harvest time. So here's what he's doing now. Verse 31, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all his holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, all wheat and tares. Okay? Shall be gathered all nations. And he shall separate them one from another as a shepherd divided his sheep from the goat. Sheep is wheat, goat is tares. Okay? And so he's letting them know. But how is he going to know how to separate? Because all nations are gathered together. We all look alike. So it's not an issue of color. Because remember, wheat look like tares. Tares look like wheat. So you can't just separate it according to color. That's why Israelites got to understand that they can't get this just because they're Israelites. Okay? So, again, he says the shepherd is going to divide his sheep from the goats, wheat from the tares. And he shall sit the sheep on his right hand. Now, when you look at Matthew 13, it says he'll gather the wheat in the barn. Okay? He shall sit the sheep on his right hand, but the goat on his left. Remember, he separated the tares and put them somewhere else. Verse 33. And he shall, verse 34. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Now, verse 35, look at what he says now. He's showing what makes them sheep. Just like we're going to get an understanding from looking at this parable, what makes the difference between the sheep and the tare in Matthew 13. We're going to go back there. Now, he says, I'm going to read verse 34 again. He says, then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, the sheep, come ye blessed sheep, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in, naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall a righteous, now we know that the sheep are the righteous. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee and hungry, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Now when you look at the word brethren, the word brethren, I'm going to just give you the meaning. The word brethren means from the womb. Okay? It means near or remote. So when Jesus is talking about brethren, he's talking about somebody that he's related to. Okay? He's talking about somebody that he's related to. From a Christian perspective, but he's talking about his brethren from the womb. Jesus is saying in a nutshell, when I come back, there are people that I'm related to. And I'm gonna deal with all nations according to how they treated these people that I'm related to. Okay? My brethren, I'm coming back to deal with the world according to how they dealt with my brethren. That's the thing that the church has to get. And what he's saying is the difference between the sheep and the goat is dependent on the mindset of how these people have treated my brethren. All right, now go back to Matthew 13, and we'll see it even dealing with the wheat now. Now, verse 28, we're going to verse 28, Matthew 13, verse 28. It says, and he said unto them, an enemy has done this. The servant said unto him, wilt thou then that we go gather them up? But he said, nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root also the wheat with them. Let both grow together unto the harvest. And in the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to be burn them. Y'all seeing this now? To burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. Y'all seeing this now? Now go back to Matthew 25, and we'll see the same thing taking place here. But he's explaining who, he's explaining the seed of the word to show you the mindset of the people who he's going to deal with and who he's not going to deal with. So you're not going to have people that's going to be able to stand behind Christianity and say, well, okay, I'm the righteous, because we're going to expose it all. Now, as you look at verse 40. And the king shall answer and say, this is Matthew 25, verse 40. And the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, insomuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Remember now, Jesus is talking about his brethren. His brethren by the womb or bloodline. So Jesus is coming back. Yehoshua is coming back to judge this earth based upon the mindset that they have about his people. That's why it's vitally important to know who these people are. Because Jesus is saying, okay, when I come back, I'm going to deal with this world according to the state of their mind. And the state of their mind is based upon how they dealt with my brother. Okay? Now, as we continue to read, he's saying, then shall he say also unto them on his left. He's talking to the goats now, or when you look at Matthew 13, it's from the perspective of the tare. So he's talking to the goats. He said, he shall say unto the goats, verse 1-1, then shall he say also unto them on his left, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire. What did Matthew 13 say? He gathered the tares and he burned them. Okay? He says, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in. Naked, and ye clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, and ye visited me not. Then shall they, who they? The goat. Who are they? The tares. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee hungry, or when athirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, verily I say unto you, insomuch as ye did it not to one of these least of these, one of the least of these, ye did it not unto me. So when you look at the least of these, you go back up, he's talking about his brothers. People are going to have a hard time realizing, or people are going to have a hard time understanding that Christ is coming back to judge all mankind based upon how mankind has received him, based upon how they received his people. So you have people who are coming to the altar saying that they received Jesus, but Jesus is saying, if you don't receive my people, neither do you receive me. That's why it's vitally important to know who his people are, so that you can know who he is, because he's associating his treatment in comparison to how we treat his people. And that's what the church don't understand. The church thinks that it can come to the altar and say, I believe in Jesus, I receive Jesus in my heart, and I can grow up and become a sheep, or I can grow up and become wheat. But you got some of these same people who will go out of the presence of believing in Jesus, so to speak, and will turn around and treat the people that Jesus is saying that's his people wrong, and then think they still connected to Jesus. Jesus said, what did he say? I was thirsty. They're saying, when were you thirsty? When my brother was thirsty. I was naked. When were you naked? When my brother was naked. I was in prison. When were you in prison? When my brother was in prison. When you treated my brethren a certain way, you did it unto me. That's what he's saying to these nations. And so come full circle, when it come down to those brothers who were standing before the United Nations, the scripture say he's gathering all nations. What did the verse say? He's gathering all nations, and he's telling these nations he's going to gather all nations all over the world, verse 31 said, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. Isaiah 11 talks about that Christ is going to return to sit upon the throne of his glory. He's going to become an ensign, a rallying point where all nations will seek. This is the same harmony. Okay? Then he says, and before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another as a shepherd divided his sheep from the goat. He's going to judge all nations according to how they treat his brethren. And the church don't understand that. Okay? Now, as you continue to read on, and we're past the time, so I'm going to start winding this thing up. And so as you continue to read on, he says, verse 44, then they answer him saying, Lord, I'm going to skip down to verse 45. Then shall he answer them saying, verily, I say unto you, insomuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. So what these nations have to understand, and what it's our responsibility to do, and that's why I've been trying desperately to get all nations of people to understand who we are. Because when Christ returns, he's going to judge these nations based upon who we are. How they treated his people, or how they neglected his people. And most people think that they can be in the church, wheat and a tear, it's a state of mind, that they can be in the church and treat Israelites wrong, and then think when Christ returns, they're going to come stand before them and say, oh my Lord, and be classified as a sheep. Yah is showing us in his word that the only thing that's going to be classified as sheep is those who come into the understanding that we're dealing with, remember, 30, 60, 100 fold, come into the understanding of the truth of the word, the seed, and start to operate in producing fruit thereof. So you got well-known preachers who are preaching this other doctrine. The scripture calls them tares because they don't know how to treat God's people. Now go back to Matthew 13, and I'm closing. Now, let me see where I want to finish this at. Okay, let's look at verse 30. Verse 31. Verse 31, he's finishing it now. He's got another parable, putting he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like to a grain of mustard seed, which when a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all seed, but when it is sown, it is the greatest among herbs, and becometh a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. Another parable, because he's given different parables on how we should be from the state of our mind. We should always be growing, in a nutshell. Verse 35, it says, that he might fulfill which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. Then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house, and his disciples came unto him, saying, declare unto us the parable of tares of the field. He's going to tell you what it means now. Explain to us the tares of the field. Jesus now starts to explain. Verse 37, he answered and said unto them, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. You see this now? The Son of Man. He's saying, I'm the one sowing the good seed. The field is the world. Y'all seeing it now? The good seed are the children of the kingdom. Okay? I had to bring you to a state of mind, because you go up and you come down in order to identify the children of the kingdom. It's a state of mind. That's why he starts talking about the ground at first, stony ground, wayside ground. He's talking about these different ground because he's showing you that the children of the kingdom starts from a state of mind. Then he goes from the state of mind to show that he's including the whole world from a perspective of the same similitude to understand how he operates. Now, again, he answered, he said, the field is the world. I'm going to go back up. He answered and said unto them, verse 37. He answered and said unto them, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom. But the tares are the children of the wicked. So when you get to Matthew 25, he's saying the wicked people treat my brethren wrong. You want to know how a person is wicked? You can't tell they're wicked because they're in the church. Remember, the Ku Klux Klan would go to church. How you determined that they were wicked was how they treated the people of Yah. Okay? Now, again, verse 38, the field is the wicked. The good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked. The enemy that sold them is the devil. So when you see people, I don't care if it's a police officer, I don't care if it's the court system, I don't care if it's the prison system, I don't care if it's society as far as jobs are concerned, you name it, across the board, when you run across an individual who treat the people of Yah from a perspective of wickedness, you're looking at the wicked. I don't care who they are. They can go to church on a daily basis. It can be a preacher. I was at a church service one time, and they had the pastor had asked all of the people just to, you know, go around and hug one another and greet one another. So everybody was hugging one another. And so the so-called first lady of the church, his wife, white couple, they were hugging people too, and so she came up in the area where I was, and so I went to hug her, but I could tell from her mindset that she was hugging people, but it was not in her heart, her mind, to do it. And I said to myself, you know what? They hear this woman standing here trying to come across like she being a child of God, but just as wicked as somebody out there on the street who not even acknowledging y'all whatsoever. So you can't get impressed with people who go to church, because according to the scripture, that doesn't determine it, because you have wheat and tares growing together. You got church folks that are tares, and you got folks in the world who don't look like they're in church at all that could be wheat. You can't go by what you see. You got to go by what the state of the mind of the individual. So he says in verse 39, the enemy that sold them is the devil. The harvest is the end. See, the harvest and the end, y'all is saying it's going to be stuff growing up together. You ain't going to know what it is. Okay? The harvest is the end of the world. and the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels and shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who has ears to hear, let him hear. Y'all seeing this now? Then he goes on to say again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasures hid in the field. That which when a man has found, he hideth. And for the joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath and buyeth that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man and seeking goodly pearl. So he's describing what the kingdom is like. Okay? He's describing what the kingdom is like. And so he's letting us know in a nutshell, how do you understand the wheat and the tare? Y'all, we living in a day where you don't know what's what. You don't know who's living right. You don't know who's not living right. You're looking at all these nations of people that appears to be godly. But then the scripture is revealing to us how you're going to be able to tell what belongs to him and what not in the end. He's saying, when I show up, it's going to be people got on clergy collars. It's going to be preachers got on. It's going to be women got on their, you know, their big hats. It's going to be preachers. It's going to be, you know, folks that go to church on a regular basis. That's why you should never get caught up into feeling like somebody, well, they feel like they look like they've been in church longer than me, or they know more scriptures than I do, and different things like that. That's not going to be the determining factor. Y'all said it's going to be a state of mind that I'm going to come back and I'm going to know without a doubt what belongs to me and what doesn't belong to me. And you're going to have a whole lot of folks sitting up in church that y'all going to be like, get away from me, you work of iniquity. I never knew you. There's going to be some folks out there who appear like they don't have God in their life whatsoever. But y'all going to say they have a state of mind, they love me, they love people, and they specifically love my people. He said, those are sheep. Those are the sheep. Those are the righteous people who love people, who want to see things right. And they love the nation. So when you look at all these other nations of people who are treating the so-called black people or the Israelites the way that they are, you're looking at wickedness. I don't care what they believe in. You're looking at wickedness. If you got a preacher who's not teaching the truth, who's not saying who Christ really is, who's not saying who Christ's brethren are, you're listening to wickedness. What did Matthew 13 say? They hear the word and they understand it not. You got preachers who heard the word and they don't understand it. And they're going around preaching another doctrine. And because of that, you have a society or a world that's full of knowledge, but not according to the truth. So when Christ returns, he's going to be judging these nations based upon how they treated his people. So all these things that you're seeing people doing to the nation of Israel, y'all say, I'm going to deal with you accordingly. And salvation is based on it. He said, I'm going to call you tear, or I'm going to call you ghost based upon how you treat my people. I'm going to call you sheep, I'm going to call you righteous based upon how you treat my people. And in Israel, I'm going to call you sheep, and I'm going to call you tear based upon how you obey my word. You think you're going to sit here and your diet is going to be the opposite of my word? You're going to carry yourself the opposite of my word? You're not going to honor the Sabbath? You think you're going to do all these things and be classified as sheep? You don't get to make it into the kingdom just because you identified as Israel by bloodline. It's a state of mind that has to adjust to the things of the kingdom to bring the 30, 60, and 100-fold of that kingdom. And we're not bringing 30, 60, and 100-fold of that kingdom to pass. We're ghosts. We're tares. And so that's why this has to be preached, y'all. That's why the nation of Israel, we as a people, have to be brought to the forefront, because salvation depends upon it. People got to know who we are. And these nations got to start making preparations to deal with Yah's chosen people, to get us back into the heritage that is necessary, because Christ is saying, when I come back, I'm dealing with all nations. All right? And so that's what I wanted to show you, and I'm going to go ahead and get ready and cut it off right here. But that's what I wanted to show you in a nutshell, to give you an understanding of how it is vital for us to know who we are, and it's vital for other nations to know who we are. Because if we don't know who we are, then we could be classified as terror for operating in disobedience. And on the other hand, these other nations who don't know who we are, they could be classified as terror or ghosts based upon it. So this information is vital that we're discussing. All right? I'm going to go ahead and start right there because I'm way over time. Any questions or comments at this point? None? We're good? Okay, let's stop here. Father Yahweh, bless your name on today. We thank you for another facet of understanding. And we ask you to lead and guide us in all truth to stand firm and to acknowledge who we are with humility, and to understand that this whole plan of salvation, we are the focal point. We are the example by which y'all want to use to bring salvation to all mankind. And we're going to continue to step in that lane that you've ordained us to be as a people. And we just glorify you for that. In the name of Yahushua, we do pray. Amen.